Clap your hands and shout. Oh my, I wish you could hear what I'm hearing right now. This is amazing. I hope God likes it as much as I do, and I think He does. Woo! Oh my. Thank you so much for letting us come. I just leaned over to my wife, and they were talking about next year. And man, I just want to come back up here. I said, we need to come back. I mean, we got free lodging with my kids. My grandsons are up here. My daughter went, bought some Bluebell Neapolitan before I got here with some Coke Zero to pour over it. Put a little Diet Coke on Bluebell and you can call it diet food. Or you can put some strawberries on Bluebell and call it health food. Bluebell talks to me at night. I lay in my bed and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm not going to eat any Bluebell tonight. I get all nestled up and Bluebell talks to me. I heard him call my name. He said, hey, Jerry, what you doing? I said, well, I'm fixing to go to sleep. Would you like to have a little fellowship? It's cold in here, Jerry. I'd kind of like to get out. Unfortunately, Bluebell has won more times than he's lost. You may be seated. God bless you. Seriously, thank you so much. Give me the key of F over there. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood. Y'all know that one, don't you? This is not an old one, by the way. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. You don't know it? I've been washed by the blood. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven, and I've been washed by the blood. What talent you have here in this district, the flowers, the hollies, all you people. My friends, I've been more blessed than I can bless, I promise you that. And got to see some of my family today. What a delight to be here. Word on the street is that Pastor David Gilbert he remembers the story I told a little bit of last night, a little differently. Trust me, I have good long-term memory. We love these people so much, and God bless all of you and my family. My wife is with me. There's no me without you, Gina, and I mean it. I'm going to preach to you tonight. I'm going to tell a couple of stories some of you have heard, all right? I know that going in. However, you probably need to hear it again. You know, that's the way you learned 2 + 2 = 4. They made you write it 10,000 times, right? And if you've heard a little bit of this, I know we have a pretty good group of men that come to our Louisiana Men's Conference. But I want to start out by reading what I think is one of the most important verses in the Bible. It's found in Numbers 23 and 19. It said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You know, we'd probably do well to commit that verse to memory. God's not a man, he can't lie. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, Paul said that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Christianity is a religion of confession. We believe in our hearts, but we confess with our mouth. It's not enough just to believe it. You have to confess it. Some people walk in defeat because they're confessing the wrong things. Solomon said, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Let me remind you tonight that the same verse that warns us that the power of death is in our tongue also tells us that the power of life is in our tongue. So every time we speak, we are speaking life or death. Jesus demonstrated to us the power of our words. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Jesus spoke to demons and they obeyed him. Jesus spoke to the wind and the storms obeyed him. Jesus cursed a fig tree and the fig tree died in 24 hours. I once had a fig tree behind my fence. I didn't plant it, I inherited it. It was tearing up my fence. We didn't want the figs, so I tried to kill that crazy fig tree. I cut it down. It came back up. I poured diesel on it. Don't turn me in. It sprouted new vines. It took me 2 years to kill that crazy fig tree. And probably if we drove by that old house, it's probably tearing up the fence again. Jesus spoke to it and killed it with the power of his words. He spoke to a 12-year-old girl that was dead and she sat up. He spoke to the widow of Nain's dead son on the way to the graveyard, I might say, and he sat up. He commanded Lazarus with his mouth, who had been dead for 4 days, to come forth, and he came forth. Paul said, be a follower of Christ. One translation said, imitate Christ. Thus I am instructed to be an imitator of God. If I'm going to imitate Christ, it is imperative that I learn to use the words of my mouth for the right things, because my words are like containers. They're carrying either fear or faith. They are either loosing or binding. They are blessing or cursing. And let me tell you about words, they produce after their own kind. And if you speak negative words, they'll produce negative things in your life. I choose tonight to confess victory and not defeat. I can either moan about the mountain or I can speak to the mountain. This was not my ideal. This was the teaching of Jesus Christ. Solomon said, put away from thee a froward mouth, crooked speech, and perverse lips. A preacher once said, do you really want all the negative things you've been saying about yourself to happen to you? Well, I'll be poor all my life. Well, I never got a break. Well, you never will. Jesus called the report of the 10 spies an evil report. He didn't just call it a bad report. He said it's an evil report. He didn't call it an unbelieving report. He called it an evil report. The rabbis for years have studied to wonder why did they call it an evil report. They determined that God called it evil because it offered no hope. And with God, all things are possible. With God, you are never without hope. Paul said we are never in despair. To despair is to be without hope. Start talking about what God's going to do for you. Start talking about revival in your church. Quit whining about what you don't like and start confessing what you do like. I may be a little pastoral tonight, but that'll be all right. Quit fussing. You know, I got an email one time from a well-intentioned sister in the church who was complaining because we had three guitars on the platform. She said, do you think maybe three guitars are a little too much? I emailed her back and said, sweet sister, you should have gone with me to the fellowship meeting in Mountaintop, Texas. They didn't have three, they probably had 11 guitars. And not a one of them was very good at playing it. But that didn't keep them from playing it. They practiced they tuned their guitar before they sang while they were testifying and telling you, don't listen to my voice, just listen to the words. And they were ding, 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 ding. Praise the Lord, everybody. That's what I grew up in. Quit talking about what you don't like and talk about what you do like. Look around you, Pentecostals. I got the Holy Ghost in the sawdust in the old tabernacle in Lufkin, Texas when I was 11 years old. Bless your heart. It's a long way from the sawdust to Allen Event Center. We ought to thank God. Start confessing what he's going to do in your life. I'm going to walk right out of this valley, clap my hands, and praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about four areas in your life that I feel are important. This was born in me out of my visit with Brother Terry Schock, who came, inspected my life, taught me some things that I needed to hear. And from that time, I came out with four areas that I want to talk to you about, and I'll try to rush through these before we get through tonight. We're going to Nicaragua. If you'd like to go with me, you're going to enjoy this trip. The first thing I want to talk to you about is your walk with God. I'm going to challenge every man, woman, and teenager in this building tonight to seek God every day, to seek the face of God before you seek the face of man. Your walk with God must be first. Your personal walk with God is essential. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily hinders you and run with race the patience looking unto Jesus. Somebody say, I'm in a race. You got to get rid of the sin, but you got to get rid of the weights. And we probably have more weights than sins. And Jesus said, shake it off. Gene and I were going to the General Conference in Columbus a few years ago, and we had a lot of luggage because you got to go all week and you have to dress up all day and every night. And we had a lot of luggage. At the airport, I rented a little cart to stack all that luggage on, and I had to go catch a taxi to take us to the hotel. And so I looked at the escalator going up to where I needed to go, and I said, man, that looks scary. I had four or five pieces of big luggage on this little airport cart, and I just said, let's take the elevator. So we went over and pushed the elevator button, and while we were waiting, a senior citizen walked up behind me and said, I'm not going to take that escalator. The last time I rode an escalator, I fell and hurt myself. Good, good. We're going up the elevator with you, right along with us. The elevator had stopped working, apparently, and we waited and waited, and I finally decided I had to go up the escalator. And I when I pushed my luggage up on the escalator, you know, the law of leverage began to take hold of me. I mean, the front of the little luggage rack was up higher than the back, and I began to feel the weight, and I'm like, you know, just before you get off the elevator, there's that little lip, and I'm thinking, what if the wheels on this thing catch that lip? I'm in trouble. My wife was up ahead of me, and I'm like, I'm trying to brace myself, and I turned around just to make sure nobody was following me, and there was that senior citizen. And as fate would have it, the cart wouldn't go over that little bump. I had to shove it, and luggage went everywhere. I went on top of the cart, and the man went on top of me. And I looked at my wife, and she's running off down the way. She's headed to find a taxi, and the man's trying to crawl off with me. I was so embarrassed, I didn't even think to ask him if he was hurt. I'm like, and this is the way we're going through life. What's the deal with all these storage places they build? They got a storage place every three blocks in our city. Are we filling up our attics with stuff, and we don't have any more room in the attic, and so we're having to put something in a storage room? Is that what's going on with all these storage places? We got to get rid of some weights, ladies and gentlemen. There's some things holding us down. Can you give him 7 minutes every morning before you leave your house? Your daily habits are determining your future. You don't have to determine your future. Just look at your daily habits and you'll know where you're going to be. If we're not praying, let's quit pretending we are Pentecostals or apostolic. I heard somebody say that in the book of Acts, every story was either coming from or leaving a prayer meeting. Pentecostals who are not praying are only playing. I don't think you heard me, did you? Pentecostals who are not praying are only playing. They are pretending. And an unpraying Pentecostal is an oxymoron. You better get a walk with God. You better use your Bible. You better get YouVersion open. You better get you a daily plan. And you better learn a vocabulary of prayer. Pray the tabernacle plan. Pray the Lord Shepherd. You can get up and pray that. Lord, you're my shepherd today. I'm not going to be in want. You're enough for me. Lead me down beside the still waters. You can pray. You can pray. Get a developed vocabulary of prayer. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap right now. The second thing I want to talk to you about is your worship. If you don't have a walk with God, let me tell you about your worship. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Real worship and praise must be born out of a walk with God. In the church in the wilderness, God gave men the procedure, the recipe to get to where we want to go, to the Ark of the Covenant and Aaron's rod that budded and the pot of manna and the mercy seat. And you got to start out at a brazen altar of repentance where you offer your body a living sacrifice unto God. And then you get to that laver of water where you wash your mind with the washing of water by the word of God. Then you march through those five pillars and you see God as wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Then you you got to go to the golden candlesticks and get some fresh oil and trim those wicks and get right with God. Then you can go to the table of showbread and get some of that daily bread that comes down from heaven. Only then can you offer real incense of worship unto the Lord. Praise leaders, praise and worship teams, listen to me. Don't walk to the pulpit to do your worship and praise until you've been to a prayer meeting, until you've offered your body a living and holy sacrifice unto God. It's your reasonable service. We don't want to hear you sing because you're gifted. We don't want to hear you play because you're gifted. We want you to be anointed. Is this all right, Brother Flowers? Am I in trouble yet? Am I okay? We got to get this praise and worship thing down. Amen. 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 Brother C.M. Becton taught us years ago from Isaiah chapter 6, and the seraphims, with two wings they covered their eyes, and with two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they constantly flew around. And he taught us that in worship there is constant movement. Uncross your hands for a moment. Slide up to the edge of your chair and get a sand on your tiptoes and wait for what God's going to do tonight in this service. There's constant movement. Somebody said, that's not my personality. Psalm 84 said it's a law and it's a statue in Israel to make a joyful noise to God. And what do you mean that's not your personality? What do you mean that's not your personality? What do you mean that I'm just not made that way? It don't matter if you're made that way. It's a law. It's a statue in Israel. Hey, we Pentecostals here in this building believe that we have a truth that the rest of Christendom in America does not have. They're not going to out-worship us. They're not going to out-pray. Better not. Ladies and gentlemen, in every church, we need to turn the mosh pits into praise pits, and we need to make sure that we're giving God more than those people out there are giving him with a hand clap of praise. Clap your hands and shout unto God. That's about what I expected. That's about average. Can I run this by you again? Yeah. Come on down, Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, praise won't get you everything, but it will get you something. I've been privileged in my life to worship God with a lot of people in a lot of places. I worshiped with some people in Hong Kong on only God knows what floor we were on in that hotel. Maybe the 50th floor in Kowloon. I've been to the Philippines in the headquarters church where you couldn't have put another person in that building. In the Philippines, they could put 1,000 people on this platform for their choir. I worshiped in the city. I worshiped in a gymnasium with the Philippines where we had to wait for a basketball tournament to conclude before they could set up the platform and the sound system and the keyboard. That night, 92 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I worshiped God in the barrios outside of Philippines. We waded through the mud to get in that little church And the preacher said they just went through an enlargement program here at the church, which consisted of a large blue tarp that had been stretched out on the building. Wasn't much of a building. The dirt was floor. But when those little girls got up to sing, when I walked in the door, I felt his presence. I could only weep and cry. I've been to St. Croix, where with open windows, the church was packed of people. But there were more people on the outside, I think, than there were on the inside. I've been in the Dominican Republic and worshiped with our sweet, precious brothers and sisters there as the sewer ran down the streets. And in the room must have been 110 degrees and there were no windows. I've been in Puerto Rico and my wife freaking out because the lizards were crawling on the wall in the church where we were worshiping God. I've been in Panama, both in the city and in the country. In the country, when I preached with Brother Hopkins, I could smell the food cooking in the holes in the ground. They were getting ready to eat after the service was over that Sunday morning, and the women were cooking, and we were having church. And Brother Hopkins said, "Do you want to eat here, or would you like to go back to town?" I opted to go back to town. I've been in Costa Rica, where the women fed their babies with one arm, and the other arm was up in the air as they praised and worshiped God. I've been in Haiti, the worst poverty I have ever seen, where the superintendent would literally have to get up and make the choir quit singing so they could go on with the preaching. The worst poverty I've ever seen. In Mexico, where the ladies put streamers on their tambourines and came flooding out of a hot coliseum. I remember this was the first place that I'd ever seen the ladies sweating like the men as they worship God in that big old coliseum that was two or three times as large as this, and there were no air conditioners in that building. I've been to Nicaragua last December a year ago with over 10,000 people in an open field. I preached in Scotland with the Filipinos. I've been in Canada, both in British Columbia on the western side and in New Brunswick on the eastern side. I've worshiped with the Jamaicans in Toronto, from California to Florida, Washington State and Maine, the Midwest, the Southwest, the Southeast, the Beltway. I've been to the East and West Coast, and tonight I'm worshiping with you here in Allen, Texas. And let me tell you what I've observed, Brother Flowers, in all my travels. What appears, this appears to me, that the people who appear to have the least to praise God for, praise Him the most. And the people who have the most to praise God for, praise Him the least. And it ought to be an indictment against us. And North America, don't you think it's time we change that? Why do we always need a preacher in this pulpit screaming at us, trying to get us to worship God? We're the most blessed people on the planet. God is great, and He's greatly to be praised. I'm instructed to praise Him according to His excellent greatness. The psalmist said, "Give the Lord the glory to His name." I don't have a clue how we're going to do that, but wouldn't you like to try tonight to give Him the glory to His name? Come on, you need to take this home. I don't care if you have 20 or 300 or 1,000. This is the way it ought to be in your local church on Sunday morning. Is God any less in your church than He is at camp meeting? I would say where two or three are gathered. I went down to Nicaragua. And so, you know, when you go in these foreign countries, you give them your American money, the dollar, and they'll exchange it into their currency. And usually, I don't remember what I gave the hotel clerk, and they gave me Cordovas, which is the Nicaraguan currency. So the last day, we had a 3-day crusade And the last day, I had 1,000 Cordovas left. I had 10 $100, 100 Cordova bills. And I said, you know, I told our wonderful missionary there, Brother Steve Nix, I said, would it be okay if I blessed the superintendent here, Juan Garcia, and the worship leader and the assistant general superintendent, the national secretary, they'd all work so hard. And he said, absolutely, they'd love it. It'd be a blessing. These people are poor. They're poor. We're in an open field. You'll see, you'll go with me there in a minute. We're going to go there. We're going to go. So I was so happy that night. I got four $100 Cordova bills. I don't even know how to say it. And I shook the superintendent's hand. His name's Juan Garcia. He is a man of God. Whew. I had it folded up, you know, and I said, Dios le bendiga. That's about as good as I can say it. And he looked up at me and smiled, and he said, gracias, gracias. Put it in his pocket. I folded up 200 and went to the worship leader. Dios le bendiga. They couldn't speak any English. Gracias, gracias. I'm on my way home that night. I said, Brother Nix, I handed out that money tonight. He said, that's wonderful, Brother Dean. Those men are going to appreciate it so much. He said, how much did you give him? I said, well, I gave Brother Garcia 400 Cordova bills. And I gave all the others 200. He said, that's nice. I said, Brother Nix, how much did I give him in American? Yeah, about $10. That means I gave the other guys $5. Ladies and gentlemen, this crusade that our church sponsored with the help of two other churches cost $30,000. And I gave him a $10 bill. I could feel the blood rushing up in my face. Poor Brother Nix, he said, it's okay, Brother Dean. He said, he'll buy him a cup of coffee. Cup of coffee. You know where I'm going, don't you? Boy, we thought we did something last night. We danced up here for about 45 minutes. Oh, God, help me to behave myself right now. I got a mean streak coming from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Because we think we did God a big favor because we rode over here in our air-conditioned cars. We're going to go eat in all these restaurants after church, and we clapped our hands for about 10 minutes and shouted and praised God. And he's got a million angels singing his praises every day. Hallelujah. I don't want to get an attitude like I've done enough. I've never done enough. Never. Can I challenge you, North Texas, to remember this? Don't give him a token offering. He didn't give you a token gift. He gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is that all you got? Is that what you got? You're going to give him about 10 bucks worth? Is there somebody up there in the risers that'll shout it out as loud as you can? I don't want to ever walk away and God wondering how much I love him. He said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. So why don't we try it that way? How much do you love him? How much strength do you have in your body?
You believe there's one God? You believe Acts 2:38 is the ultimate experience? Then we ought to out-worship everybody in North America. We ought to out-praise everybody in North America. Do you believe in holiness? We ought to out-praise and out-worship everybody else. Come on, we need to undignify the dignified. And some of you need to get up on your feet. Woo! Some of you have done got over getting the Holy Ghost. Don't ever get over getting the Holy Ghost. Get a hold of somebody and pray for them right now. Say, God, help us to undignify the dignified. I was pastoring 25 years in Bossier before I got one of those men to clap his hands. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to give God a token tonight. I'm tired of token praise and token worship. I've been by that brazen altar today. I went by that laver of water. I washed my mind in the Word of God. I change my garment. I put on my garment of praise. He's wonderful. He's counselor. He's mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. I've been to the oil. I prayed for fresh oil. I want fresh oil. I've got the word. I've got the bread. And now it's time to go to the altar of incense. Let the uplifting of my hands be like incense to you tonight. Paul said, if you pray in tongues, you thank God well. You ought to pray in tongues right now. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you can receive it right now. You can pray in tongues right now. Right now. I release the gift of faith right now in the name of Jesus. That's it. Go ahead. I'm not going to give him a little $10 worth. I don't want to give him a little $10 worth. I don't care whether I get to finish my message or not. I want God to be glorified in this building. Are you with me? I want God to be glorified. I want God to smell our praise. That altar of incense was a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. I want God to smell our worship. I want him to smell our praise. I want him to know the North Texas district has got enough of the Holy Ghost. We're going to let him, we're going to praise him for it. Yeah. Carrying around some weights, it'd be a good time for you to lay them aside. Some of you already worried about tomorrow, where you're going to go eat tonight. You ought to lay it aside and say, whatever you want, Jesus. We're going to turn the mosh pits into praise pits, and we're going to let Jesus know we're Pentecostal. We've been to the altar. We've offered our bodies a living sacrifice. We're here to offer incense unto the Lord. Come on, clap your hands and shout. Somebody's getting their healing right now. Somebody's getting healed right now. Somebody's getting delivered right now. Somebody's being freed right now. Yeah. 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 I don't think we're done, are we? I think we done put that $10 back in our pocket. And we done said, I don't need to give him $10 tonight. Woo! Revival's coming to my city. Revival's coming to Allen. Brother Watts, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. There's going to be a residue left over. I heard one of the security guards got the Holy Ghost last night. Somebody got baptized at a hotel swimming pool last night. The residue's here. The Holy Ghost is here. Heaven is here. You're right. You're right, Brother Flowers. Heaven is here. They're praying for a security guard up here in the exit ramp, looks like. God, fill him with the Holy Ghost right now. Fill her with the Holy Ghost. Hey, let's get excited about this. Somebody shout right now. When they found the lost sheep, they had a party. When they found the lost coin, they had a party. When they found the lost boy, they had a party. The sheep was 1 out of 100. The coin was 1 out of 10. The boy was 1 out of 2. But it don't matter to God if it's 1 out of 100, 1 out of 10, or 1 out of 2. Every time they came home, they found the coin and they had a celebration. They called the neighbors together. Let's get excited tonight. Somebody is getting the Holy Ghost. I got 2 more points. I'm not going to try to preach them. We're going to Nicaragua. Before we go, I want to tell you about this trip. Our church built a Bible school in Nicaragua to honor my dad, William H. Dean, Memorial Bible School. And I asked the missionary if they'd ever had crusades. He said, Brother Dean, we haven't had one since 2008. He said, we don't have the money to have a crusade. They have to rent buses to bring those people from all over Nicaragua. We have a very strong work in Nicaragua. Let me tell you, don't ever get to thinking God's American. I won't hurt your feelings, but he loves that little black boy in Africa as much as he loves your kid. He died for that brown boy in Nicaragua just like he died for yours. And we have a responsibility to get the word to them, to get the message to them. So we plan a crusade. Brother Mark Dross has been preaching for us, and he's one of the greatest Spanish-speaking preachers I've ever heard. I said, Brother Dross, would you go preach the crusade? He said, I'd love to. Well, Brother Nick said, let me get with the general board here. And he emailed me and he said, Brother Dean, they're all excited about this. He said, it's going to cost $30,000. Well, I stared at that email a long time. I'm like, oh, I'll get some help. I started trying to get some of my friends to help me, and I struck out. I was determined to do this. I wanted to do this in memory of my dad. I wanted to do it on that complex. We had bought 7 beautiful acres. The Bible school was built, and they're having classes in there. My father lived to see it built and to see the general board praying for him. It was a beautiful thing. So we go to Nicaragua. I finally did get a couple of my friends to chip in, and we go to this crusade. We got there, Brother Nick said, Brother Dean, he said, every church has been praying. They've been on fast. He said, many of our churches prayed all night last Saturday night. They had all-night prayer meetings all across Nicaragua. And I get to Nicaragua, and we're going to start this first day at 6 o'clock, and I'm looking out at this field, and there's 5,500 chairs they've rented, white plastic chairs. And there's about 250 people there, and I'm like, oh, my God, 30 grand. 30 grand. I went to Brother Nix. I said, Brother Nix, are we in trouble? He said, oh, no, we're not in trouble. I said, we'll have about 3,500 tonight. It'll double by the next night, and then the Sunday we'll have over 10,000. Oh, good. I'm thinking about that check we wrote. Oh, yeah, a little faith. When he told me they'd been praying, he said, Brother Dean, you don't know, we got buses coming from everywhere. We got to end church at a certain time. We got people going home into neighborhoods where you shouldn't even get out of your house after dark. So we're going to hit it and get it and get done with it. They didn't even want us testifying, preaching. They gave me 3 minutes one night. So we got to get these people home. I want you to go to Nicaragua with them. When we get through with this video, it's 4 minutes long. Some of you have seen it. I know that. It won't hurt you to see it again. Say amen. I want you to see what God did in Nicaragua, all right? The investment we made was nothing. 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 Let's go to Nicaragua. To have the least to praise God for. Praise Him the most.
High school football stadium before it's over.
We may need that $60 million stadium or the stadium in McKinney. Get ready. Do you believe it? Then start confessing it. Your words have power. Now clap your hands and shout if you believe it with me. Two kingdoms are colliding in America. Two kingdoms are colliding. But we know who's going to win. We know who's going to win. The last hope for America is a Pentecostal heaven sent, one God, Jesus' name, chain breaking, pain taken, way making, revival. Come on, let your faith go tonight. Come on, let your faith go tonight. Start confessing it. Start confessing it. Start confessing it. Believe it in your heart. You gotta confess it with your mouth. I am healed. I'm set free. I'm delivered. I'm in revival. The Holy Ghost spoke to me this afternoon in my private devotion as I prepared for tonight. The Holy Ghost told me to tell you pastors, wealth is coming and he's going to take your churches out of debt. I'm telling you what I felt in the Holy Ghost. And when God takes you out of debt, you're going to do what I just did, what our church did, and you're going to help get the gospel to the world. Are you willing to do it? Will you receive what I said? The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Somebody's going to come your way.